Okay, it's time for Truth About Markets in London with Max and Stacy. Hello, Stacy.
Oh, wow, Max. You see how big your little waves are there?
Little big wave. There's an Indian tribe out there in the west. West of America. You know, America apparently is dead. I read it on Alex Jones's Infowars.com.
So that means it's official if you read it online?
Yeah. The whole rating agency in China, which was just created, has downgraded America's debt and upgraded various other countries' debt. See, America had a monopoly after World War II, but that monopoly is finito due to the outsourcing of everything out of America. No more jobs. Now China, other countries, run the show. They run the show. Don't you know?
Max, are you trying to be a poet here?
Why do you touch my microphone? You see?
Don't go.
I mean, there's always sound problems.
Because you keep
moving the microphone.
Because you're going up like that. That's not good. But
I'm not taking any responsibility for the sound issues, because if it continues to move during the show, I don't know what to do. I mean, my mouth is fixed in the same place in my head. It doesn't move dynamically with an object.
Listen, so you were talking about China downgrading the U.S., in case you missed the Kaiser report where we talked about that, the company is called Dagong, and it's actually been around for a decade or two, and it used to just rate corporate bonds, but now it's officially rating sovereign debt as well. So they're trying to break up the monopoly of Moody's, S&P, and Fitch, and they downgraded the U.S. And they also, I believe, downgraded U.K. already, but... So the U.S. is no longer AAA.
No.
According to all the rating agencies, it's now AA with a negative outlook.
No, that's right. Now, according to Alex Jones, this is the demarcation in history that will separate the birth of America and the death of America, the birth-death model, which is interesting what they use to determine the employment and unemployment rates in America. They use the birth debt death model, which is the birth and death of small companies, which is an estimate. And then they base jobs based on that estimate. I mean, you know, shockingly, they don't really know what the real numbers are. They don't actually count who's employed or unemployed. They make wild guesses. And then when the wild guesses don't support their preconceived notion about how they can more efficiently rip people off, they change the estimates and they change the calculations, and they have no way to accurately manage the economy, unlike a corporation like Walmart that can tell you how many, you know, bottles of Tabasco sauce they're selling per hour in what location, over, you know, demographically to whom. You know, the U.S. will say, well, there's a certain estimated number of companies coming into an existence with an estimated average number of employees. And if you stop looking for work, we don't know what happens to you. There's people living in a ditch somewhere. Oh, here comes Katrina. Where do these people come from?
Yeah.
Who are these people? We don't have them on any of our records.
Yeah.
So it's run like a Girl Scout troop being run by a psychotic, methamphetamine-addled mommy of 20. It's like the Octomom in a deranged Girl Scout troop with rancid cookies. This is how America is operated. It's terrible. It's run by idiots. And no wonder that the perception of the country outside of the country is a country run by idiots,
mm-hmm.
signifying nothing.
Yeah, well, it's like they use the tools of a scientist. They're able to collect data, but they look out there and they look out beyond the heavens and they see, oops, like there's a black hole or there's a star or there's a sun not revolving around us. And we decide that we just don't want to count that. That doesn't fit in with our American dream, our myths, our lies that we're telling people.
If the government generated accurate information, and the American person would be able to use that to better themselves and to better their country and to better the world. But because the American government issues bad data, whether it's erroneous GDP data, erroneous employment data. I mean, the employment data is shocking. They say it's 9.6 or 9.7% because they don't include people who stop looking for work. The actual number is close to 20%. I mean, that's not just a mild little miss. That's a huge 50% understatement of reality. That's 50%. I mean, 50% miss and 50%. I mean, in a world like we live in, which is digital, where you have algorithms that are parsing information down to the 0.99999 bit. I mean, a miss by 50%. I mean, you're putting your country at an incredible disadvantage. It's like, let's go to the Olympics, but you on the American team, you have to wear 100-pound weights on your ankles before you get into the pool and compete in the Olympic swimming team. Oh, no, here's the American pole vaulting team, but you have to compete using this toothpick. You know, I mean, Americans could be competitive if the government gave them real tools, real things to work with. But unfortunately, they don't. And they're not. They're not competitive. They're not even relevant. And they don't even exist anymore based on this downgrade of debt by the Chinese rating agencies. Everyone's getting in on the game. China realizes that they can have their own rating agencies. The Europeans will have their own rating agency. This racket that's been going on for so long is finished. The rating agencies and the investment banks and the fund managers and CNBC basically operating as a racket to collude and to distort and to misrepresent, to be lying every second of every day. I mean, it just, it doesn't work anymore. It's not even making the rich people richer anymore.
No. But you know what, Max? There's another story in the news that fits into this whole collapsing empire sort of situation where, you know, as the empires collapse, and if you recall the Roman Empire from history, you know, you get more and more erratic, crazy, arbitrary leaders and derangement. And you see that in the headlines regarding BP. Now, this is a story we covered at the time. Tony Blair was still prime minister and he flew over to Libya. I remember he sat out in that tent with the camels farting behind him and Muammar Gaddafi's female bodyguard surrounding him. And Tony Blair did a deal with Colonel Gaddafi whereby he would release the Lockerbie, the alleged Lockerbie terrorist. Well, I guess he wasn't alleged. He was guilty. He was in jail. And now, lo and behold, because of the BP Terrorist Act in the Gulf of Mexico, suddenly it's a big issue. BP oil spill. U.S. politicians accuse BP over Lockerbie terrorist al-Megrahi. Now they want to, Democratic senators in the U.S. are calling for an investigation into BP's interests in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about that here on Truth About Markets, London, Resonance 104.4 FM. We were talking about that at the time. We were commenting on it that he could just do this, and nobody cared at the time.
Yeah, what year was this Libya deal?
That was in like 2006, maybe.
Well, Tony Blair, you know, the whole it wasn't blood for oil, right? he was adamant about that. This war is not blood for oil, and tragically, it of course was blood for oil. I mean, it's tragic. I mean, here's a guy. He made a lot of deals now since he left Downing Street for the oil industry. He's over at J.P. Morgan, right, who snapped him up the second he left the number 10 Downing Street. He's doing deals for the oil patch, representing the friends that he made in Iraq to sell oil in Iraq. And he's making lots of money. And he has embarrassed the whole idea of government in Britain as being independent from BP. I mean, BP obviously runs that British government over there. And when I called recently for there to be sanctions imposed on Britain instead of, let's say, a country like Iran, I mean, why not go after the real terrorists, the British government? Why are you bothering with the pea shooters and the non-event that's happening in Iran? Go after the real big guys. Why, if you're going to spend time being politically active, spend time being politically active against somebody who's really a freaking terrorist. Tony Blair, the British Parliament, the House of Commons, David Cameron. Why not spend real time?
Are you going to go after all of them? Well, but the other thing
Post sanctions.
Yeah, but the other thing I wanted to note to Tony Blair is that there were many people similar to him who were like prancing around the world thinking that they're protected because they're on the CIA payroll and they've had thousands of people whacked, hundreds of thousands. There were people like Manuel Noriega who was, you know, drug running for the CIA and he thought he was a big man and could whack anybody in his country and he was traveling around the world thinking he was a big man. And, you know, as soon as the empire decides they don't feel like keeping you around or you're a liability, they quickly whack you. So who knows if the congressional trail leads to Tony Blair, that's going to be very good for them in terms of their terms of re-election in 2012. Because what happens? You know, the American people will know Tony Blair's name and face. So if they suddenly put him on trial for war crimes, they'll already know the face. They don't know that before they liked him. Mm. But they could easily just turn them into, the 2 minutes of hate sort of fascist character.
Right. And what about the Lockerbie, Scotland tragedy itself? I mean, the victims of this bombing, were used by Tony Blair to line his pockets. I mean, isn't that a bit disgusting? I mean, aren't the victims of the Lockerbie, Scotland bombing, I mean, shouldn't they be down at number 10 right now demanding some kind of justice and demanding Tony Blair be put in jail immediately for... And that's an embarrassment. I mean, to think about your poor child who's now fish food somewhere outside of Scotland because Tony Blair is a schmuck. I mean, isn't it some legacy that you have to live with now for generations to come? My prime minister turned my child into a cruel joke. Well, you know, I mean, people are going to keep consuming oil and they'll look past their own dignity if they can get oil at a cheap price because they're addicted. As George Bush has said, people are addicted to oil. And when you're a strung out junkie, whether it's smack, whether it's methamphetamine or whether it's oil, you know, you don't have any dignity. And that's the problem with American Britain now. Nobody over there has any dignity. And in particular, Mike Savage.
Michael Savage, man.
Michael Savage. You know, David Cameron kept Michael Savage's name on the list of people that are not allowed to broadcast in the UK. Now, the point is, people, that until we played clips of Michael Savage on this show like 4 years ago, talking about what an idiot this guy was, nobody in Britain had ever heard of Michael Savage. So, once again, I'd like to take credit for... I'm on a roll now, as you know. I defeated box office futures trading at Cantor Fitzgerald. They fired everybody. They got just blew it all up. They said, everyone go home. It's finished. That's a total win in our column. Number two, it looks like we've kept Michael Savage completely out of the UK. And number three, my whole premise that Farmville and that virtual currency Zynga is a virtual slavery plantation, that's now becoming a big story around the world, Russia Today and elsewhere.
Yeah. It's a huge story in the news on that Kaiser Report.
The Kaiser Report's covering it, and it's going out all over the world on satellite television to 200 million people.
Oh, no, honey. You're coming down with that American disease of the Norman Bates syndrome. I think we have to take you to the hospital.
I thought this was the hospital. Nurse, there's a fly in my cream of wheat. No, but Farmville is virtual slavery, and Zynga, the virtual currency, is a way to get people to work for effectively 30 cents a day. Mm-hmm. And now, when that clip was posted this morning, while we were still napping, it already has 100 comments. Now, why? Because it touches into the space of technology, and everybody thinks they're Steve Jobs. Everybody's got their iPhone 4. Everybody's an expert when it comes to the sparkling, clean, glossy, antiseptic, latest technological enema. But, you know, this stuff has a wicked downside. And one of the wicked downsides is virtual slavery that will be introduced thanks to digital rights management and currency manipulation replacement from companies like Zynga, which Google just put $100 million into it. And when I make the comment on my show, Kaiser Report, that this is heading toward virtual slavery, you get 100 comments, and it's people suffering from what I call the rusty guillotine syndrome. Yes?
Okay, tell us what the rusty guillotine syndrome is. This is going to go viral, too. I predict the rusty guillotine syndrome will be discussed on the Kaiser Report.
We've
got to
talk about the Kaiser Report.
On the Edge. It'll also be talked about, Truth About Markets, USA, and New Zealand. That'll go global.
It's got to be globally disseminated. Because it's...
globally inseminated?
It's got to be globally inseminated.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us about it then. What's the rusty guillotine
because
syndrome?
It's, you know, it's not, the word's not sperm, but what's the word I'm thinking of? It's seminal. That's it. It's seminal. I always thought that's an interesting word, seminal.
Wow.
Because it gets into the notion of universally inseminated.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, obviously they're same from the same root Latin word.
That's right, sperm. Sperm, sperm, sperm.
No.
No,
it has something to do with seminate, inseminate, disseminate.
All right, you and your Latin roots. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, the rusty guillotine syndrome. Yes, of course. Well, the rusty guillotine syndrome is, you know, if you're about to be beheaded, in the guillotine, if the blade sticks, you go free.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're a smarky, snarky, smarmy little high-tech Steve Jobs-worshipping nerd, you look up from your soon-to-be beheaded spot under the guillotine and say to the guy, who's him? He's the assassin, the man with the dark cloak. He's about to kill you, the executioner. And you say to the executioner, "Hey, you idiot! You know you forgot to put a drop of oil over there on the left-hand side of the guillotine blade, you jerk!" And so, of course, the executioner puts the drop of oil in, and off goes your head. So, I mean, this is the way most people in America and the UK think. They're being decapitated with technological debasement of their currency and life, and instead of fighting back, they're calling out on folks as being jerks because they don't understand how the decapitation and the guillotine and the techno slicing of their livelihood is going to take place, and you see it on the comments on this little piece from Russia Today. There's 50 of the 100 comments are people with the rusty guillotine syndrome complaining about the misinterpretation of what it is to be working for free on Farmville and that the bigger technological picture has been missed here. And yet, I would submit to you that the bigger economic picture has been missed here, to wit, incredibly high unemployment, falling wages, and an ecological disaster, not to mention an ecological disaster. I think I just said that. So, it could be deja vu. It could be we're in the Matrix. It could be crashing through.
Did you just see a cat walk?
I just saw a cat walk through this frame of my collateralized peripheral vision.
Uh-oh. Well, I feel so nervous right now. Are we about to get hit by something? Asteroid?
Could be Mr. Smith is coming through the door with a gun drawn.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that rusty guillotine, I was thinking, you know, the number of, shows, documentary sort of things we download from BBC.
Oh, yeah.
Like, time after time, that is a weird thing that happens to the UK. How many times have the peasants surrounded the, Windsor Castle or shown up at Smithfield Market? And, you know, they all, like, come down from northern England, and they, like, go, thousands of them gather, and they, you know, they have their little pitchforks maybe, and they're like, hey, we're here, we're down with the king, down with the king, you can't tax us as much. And then the king comes and does the rusty guillotine on them. He tricks them all the time. He says, I'm going to listen to you. Yeah, I'm sorry. And then off with all their heads. Mm-hmm. Constantly. It happened all the time. Not only with King Henry VIII, who did it off. He did it like 10 times. He fooled you once.
Yeah.
Shame on you. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it takes disgruntled upper middle class men to pull off a successful revolution. You know, peasants are unfortunately don't have the old noggin power to put together a successful revolution. I mean, they've got a lot of heart and they've got pitchforks, but as far as organizing a proper revolution, you need disgruntled upper class people like Thomas Jefferson and these folks, Ben Franklin,
Montesquieu, Diderot, these sort of people,
yeah,
in France. But I think the other thing that happened in France is perhaps the rusty guillotine, you know, they consider themselves engineers here. And they were like, yeah, there's no way my guillotine is rusty.
Well, they invented the guillotine here, and there's no problem with how it works. They know a good guillotine when they see it. And there's actually, I tell you something interesting, Stacey Herbert.
Tell me, Max Kaiser, right here on Resonance 104.4 FM, because you know you're often telling me things that then end up becoming true many years later. But,
well, you know, we talk about the Sugar Plum Cake Shop on the show.
Oh, no.
Sugarplumcakeshop.com.
Yes, it's in Paris.
And apparently they're talking to the folks over there at the Ace of Cakes.
What's the Ace of Cakes?
Well, the Ace of Cakes is a cake shop in Baltimore, America, that has its own TV show on the Food Network. And it's the most highly rated show on the Food Network. And it's probably as highly rated now as Top Gear, with Jeremy Clarkson for gearheads and lug nuts. This is about people who are into cakes. Now, apparently they're coming to Europe to tape a special show.
Oh, no. And Max is going to be in it?
Well, apparently the people at the sugarplumcakeshop.com here in Paris are trying to get the Ace of Cakes people to make a life-size guillotine cake.
Oh, my God. That'll be so cool.
That's right. So they're going to make a life-size guillotine cake, and presumably there'll be a decapitation of a cake representation of
the Robespierre of the current day, Max Kaiser.
Some former prime minister, perhaps, with a snarky little grin and a wonky eyeball.
Honey, I have a feeling it's going to be the Robespierre character more.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure, save that for this show because we don't want anybody in
no,
anywhere
it's because
to
you're
be
the,
upset.
It just makes sense that you're the one that inspired them to come up with this guillotine.
That's right. I'm calling the shots on this cake shot, and I'm talking about the wonky man with the jilted eyeball all spinning around in all different directions because he got bit by a snake when he was 2 years old and became the devil incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
Blaya! Mm-hmm. Blaya!
Blyer.
Blyer!
I was so sick of that Blyer poster at every single stupid rally. It's not the rusty guillotine thing. They were like, ooh, Blyer. Ooh, Blyer. Where's
like,
the scary?
It was graphically, you know, very well done. It's like Saatchi and Saatchi came up with a really biting political poster that amounted to nothing. Saatchi and Saatchi, could you design a political poster for us that'll be really graphically wonderful, but will mean nothing in the end?
That's right.
I like the Tea Party's posters where it's all this chicken scrawled, misspelled, incoherent nonsense. We not job go there it so. Like, yeah, I can definitely support that. Yeah, that's a good program. Or some other, you know, outside of the White House, the big poster from the Tea Party. Less knitting, more onion dip. Yeah, okay, whatever, dude. Go for it. I know you're sincere because you're stupid. I mean, this is what George Bush wrote the stupidity platform right to the White House, and it wins in America.
I like the Code Pink ladies who just show up at everything and they protest with their pink signs behind anything. And like a whole wide range of things. They're just there protesting behind whoever's testifying before Congress.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that kind of water down their message after a while? Because they just blend into the noise. if they're just protesting at every single event and there's a code pink lady, you know, holding up a sign with blood or mud or, you know, whatever dripping from her hands, I mean, it just falls into the background. I mean, you say, oh, there's the code pink noise. I'll tune that out.
Well, you know that every single corporate entity or spokesperson or chairman speaking before Congress, they have all stolen our money because it is a corporate welfare state. So pretty much all their signs lately are, give me back my money. So it does make sense. Give me back my money, you crook. Everybody's there justifying why and how they stole the money.
But seriously, why is there a bottle of Tabasco sauce on the table? I mean, what does that got to do with...
Honey, it inspired me. I don't know. I was in the kitchen before coming to make this show.
Yeah.
And I thought, should I make myself some coffee? Because, you know, it's morning time when we're recording this, and I wanted to wake up. But I already had a cup of coffee. And then I saw this new Tabasco sauce you bought, the habanero sauce. And it's so good.
Just looking at it inspires you?
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, I really like Tabasco sauce. But you got this one.
Yeah.
And it's for the adventurous pepper sauce lover. Meet Tabasco habanero pepper sauce, a new Jamaican-style hot sauce. Brought to you from McElhaney Company as the world's hottest pepper, the legendary habanero, can bring tears to the eye, boasting a Scoville rating of 200,000 plus. It's great as a marinade in dipping sauces or for basting. You'll love it so much, you just might cry.
But I did not shoot his deputy.
Aside from the pepper, it has, woo-hoo, you know, mango puree, dehydrated onion, banana puree, papaya puree, and pepper mash.
Pass the duchy on the left-hand side. Pass the duchy on the left-hand side. It's Jamaican jerk sauce in a bottle. You put it on fish, tastes like Jamaican jerk fish.
Yeah, but... like, we brought this up on our Truth About Markets USA show.
Put some of
that
in your bong water.
I'm sure somebody is out there.
No, you
doing
get
it.
A nasty little Jamaican jerk high.
That's right. But it seems like the barrier to entry of the Tabasco, of the hot sauce business, is pretty low.
Yeah.
Obviously, it is, because there's huge amount of competition for Tabasco.
Everybody making a hot sauce.
Everybody is, but nobody comes near the original Tabasco.
Nobody can make it like them folk down there. Unfortunately, all the the areas where they make it, were they in Louisiana?
Well, in Avery Island, Louisiana. But
it's covered in oil now, thanks to BP.
Yeah, but I'm sure the peppers come from Mexico.
Well, okay, it's full of cocaine then, because it's a narco state. So you get the cocaine oil Tabasco.
Maybe that's why I was thinking of it. Instead of coffee, I was like, why do I crave Tabasco?
Why is it so damn good? 99% cocaine. It's Tabasco brand habanero cocaine sauce. A little dash of petroleum, British petroleum. Put that on your burrito.
All the best American-made, the oldest American-made products, they always had cocaine in it. I'm just making that up. But
medicinal purposes. Cocaine, heroin, these are the things, these are the drugs and vitamins you need to stay healthy. What do you call it there? The active ingredient in marijuana.
No, but you know, it's always the Brits and the British Empire are more into opium and heroin, that kind of stuff. Whereas their children went the opposite way. So America became more of a hyper, you know, crystal meth and cocaine sort of thing. You notice that?
Because nothing goes better with reading the Bible than a little crystal methamphetamine. Because you can get through the whole Bible in 10 minutes. And therefore, you're that much more closer to God. You know, if you can read the Bible and speed read it in 10 minutes because you're high on crystal meth, you are on the right hand of God.
Oh, yeah. Who is that evangelical preacher guy who is really famous? And he was apparently on crystal meth all the time.
The Crystal Palace. That's a huge, stadium churches in America. Where do you think it got the name Crystal Palace?
Oh, there's a Crystal Palace here, you know. There's the Crystal Palace football team.
Yeah, well, where do you think they come up with these names? Crystal methamphetamine, y'all.
No.
It's crystal meth. It was the original name was the Crystal Meth Palace. Then they shortened it because they didn't want to spend the extra money on the four letters that would go on their business cards. They just shortened it to Crystal Palace.
I remember when I first moved to London, I think it was sometime in 1994, maybe early 95, where there was a front page, you know, the cover story of Time Out magazine was crystal meth is here, and warning about how addictive it is, and that it's this American drug, and it's on the streets of London, it's going to tear apart our society just like it has in America.
Yeah.
Of course, it's never took hold. Because why? Because they like the opiates here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, whatever happened to good old-fashioned glue sniffing?
Exactly. I know, exactly. Why it seems so bizarre, this notion of like, well, America does that, doesn't it? It takes something that's naturally just there and good for you. Like it turned...
good old-fashioned sniffing glue, which is a health food.
Yeah, and then it adds all these like jet fuel, battery acid, all sorts of stuff go into crystal meth. They just pour all this stuff in there.
I mean, if you just want to get down to the basic, get high, just... snort some gasoline. Okay, that's what it's there for. That's why God invented gasoline. It's originally is for medicinal purposes. If you snort it, you're going to get closer to God, and you can read the Bible in 10 minutes flat.
Honey, gasoline is like the equivalent of, instant coffee to the real coffee. It's all processed and chemicals in it. And
yeah, yeah, well... you know, it's part of a ritual. You know, that's what's missing from gasoline sniffing today, is that it lacks ritual. So, you know, you got to bring back the ritualistic aspects to sniffing gasoline. That's why it's important to simultaneously smoke a cigarette. The combination of the fire and the gasoline will bring you closer to God, my friend.
Max, you're talking to a population here that has a safety net, a social, social welfare sort of system where, you know, they don't have Harlem-like places where you have people outside sniffing gasoline. They probably haven't heard of this.
Well, that's one of the reasons this show keeps so popular, going on for so long, is that we're breaking the news to you. We're bridging the cultural divide. Just like... a lot of those kinky sex positions migrated from Britain to America. We're trying to return the favor. You know, Americans wouldn't know any of this whole rent boy Mark Oaten stuff if it wasn't for this show. Now we're returning the favor. You know, the Lib Dems and their kinky ways.
Oh, Max, that's the most recent. You forget all the, mid-90s, early 90s, Tory stuff.
They're right, and why are the Lib Dems with the Tories now? What's their common ground? Kinky sex. That's their common ground. That's why they're a coalition government. They're going to have to rewrite the Kama Sutra now because of all the new positions that these two are going to invent. Well, one's called austerity.
Yeah.
This is the austerity position. It's an interesting new addition to the Kama Sutra. Both people stand in separate rooms and they break their piggy banks and they start crying. That's the austerity position.
Well, the conservative or Tory method of a sex scandal wasn't rent boys like the Lib Dems. They did more of the they had a lot of S&M. They always got caught what do they call it? Asphyxiation and
autoerotic suicide.
No, they didn't commit suicide. They got caught like being asphyxiated by some prostitute or being spanked. Lots of spankings, lots of apples in the mouth sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Old school. Keeping it real.
What happened to the labor? They're just so middle class. You know, they're just so bourgeois. They didn't do anything.
Not like that. You know, I mean.
It was just like blood for oil and deals with Libya. And it's disgusting stuff.
It's like. Perverted. It's like, you know, Tony Blair and Cherie Blair. I mean, they're out of a very boring, melodramatic potboiler. I can just see them like in a John Cheever novel kind of esque with not much going on, but a lot of stroppy posing. And This is what's great about the Tories, is that they don't mind wearing garter belts and sticking apples in their mouth and being spanked by prostitutes. This is what's needed in upper echelons of government. We don't need that middle-class, drippy, EastEnders type of chain-smoking, you know, jowly blah. We want some proper kinky sex scandals, y'all.
Yeah, but they don't. They only teach you that at Eton. There's, you know, there's.
Well, now they're all. They're back. They're all back. The Eton boys are back. So we can have some proper sex.
Entertain us.
That's right. Entertain us. You know, we want to see y'all caught and doing all kinds of compromising things.
Yeah.
And especially this guy. His name is Edward Pickles.
I saw him being insulted by somebody, yeah. And he was being insulted by somebody with another ridiculous last name.
Yeah, he has the potential of being the two jabs, what's his name? The guy with the two jags. No, the two jabs, no.
Yeah, Prescott. Prescott. He's now Lord John Prescott.
This guy Pickles is the new Prescott. I think he's going to emerge as a really colorful character. You have to be if your name is Pickles. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
I want him to be Prime Minister, though. Prime Minister Pickles.
The PM, Ed Pickles, said today that everyone's a gherkin and that they need to report immediately to the condiments because we're all in a heap of mustard. Thank you. And that was Ed Pickles, Prime Minister of Britain, the new Tory MP, who immediately took all the Lib Dems and put them in a huge vat of vinegar and turned them into chutney. Yes, Ed Pickles has just returned from his trip abroad, and he downed 37 tubs of Marmite-smeared hot dogs, claiming that from now on, Britain will be considered. Thank you, Jeremy Paxman. Now let's turn to the news with Stacey Herbert. Stacey, you really love this Tabasco sauce.
Yes, but Max, you know, there was a big story this week that you also forgot to tell the people here that you predicted, and you said this for sure long ago.
Yeah.
There's some more hidden debt. Did you see Cameron's government has revealed that they found another £4 trillion
of debt? Well, I'm glad you brought that up. This is a very important point. On this show, since 2007, when the financial crisis first hit, there was a big consensus amongst the financial pundits that the world was heading into inflation because this debt would be met with a wall of liquidity from the government printing presses around the world. But it never happened. And the global economy went into deflation and is right now gripped by the forces of deflation. Why? Because for every $1 trillion in new fresh credit and money that the government was going to throw at the banks would claim to have discovered another magical $2 trillion in debt. And when you add that all up, you end up with more debt, which is deflation. So, yes, that's exactly right. When the austerity measures were first introduced, Stacey.
Yes.
I said that the problem is that the banks are not fully disclosing the totality of their debts. If the banks had told the government what the totality of their debts had been, then the government could respond with a policy that would be constructive in terms of dealing with the enormous debts and at the same time somehow putting together programs that would stimulate the economy on the fiscal side of the balance sheet and creating perhaps some jobs. But because the banks failed to disclose the true extent and totality of their debts, the government will never be able to propose a solution that is going to add up to anything worthwhile in this deflationary nightmare. And as you just pointed out, the banks and the government have just again now said that out of nowhere, out of the thin air, out of a total place of shock and awe, they have discovered what I said on this show a year ago, which is that they've got another $4 trillion in debt that they had failed to disclose. Is it because the debt was hiding under the carpet and they didn't look under the carpet? Was the debt hidden in that pair of trousers that went off to the dry cleaners that they forgot that they left that $4 trillion of debt in the trouser pocket that's now in the dry cleaners? Where did the debt go? Was it left behind the refrigerator? Where was it? Oh, here it is. It's $4 trillion in debt. Oh, we just found it. Now, that is a bald-faced lie, and it's shocking. It's financial terrorism. It's financial ecocide. It's shocking. It's absolutely horrendous. And yet, they will get away with this. The people in Britain will say, oh, boy, oh, how'd you lose that $4 trillion in debt? Oh, you must have misplaced it. Maybe the dog ate it. Oh, where did it go? And, of course, it's an utter, total scam and lie, and it's going to bankrupt many people. Many people will actually starve to death as a result of this. This is financial genocide.
Yeah, but it leaves them safer, you see, because it goes back to my argument that the Brits are on opiates. The masses are on opiates here, whereas imagine if the population were on crystal meth.
Yeah.
I mean, they would be all strung out and, like, really tense and, you know, ready to get angry very fast.
Yeah, well, that's the only saving grace, I suppose, is that the drug keeping the masses stupid is opiate-based instead of gasoline-based.
That's...
Other than that, if more people were sniffing crystal meth, they'd probably have more social unrest. But I guess the government here figured out long ago that, they were one of the first to go into Afghanistan around the world and score some of that cheap smack to keep their population stupid. And it's been working for 60 years, 100 years. You know, Lawrence of Arabia was a smackhead. Let's keep that in mind. And so is the British population. And they got to keep them really smacked up and dumb. Otherwise, they might rise up and say, what do you mean $4 trillion in debt you didn't know was there yesterday? What kind of idiots do you think do you take us for? But no, they'll be like, Tesco's having a special seven cellophane wrapped zucchinis for the price of four. I better run down there right now.
Well, yes, many people fail to remember, recall, or think about the fact that, the invasion of Afghanistan followed 2 years straight of the Taliban had eradicated 100% of the poppy production.
Yeah. Well, that is not going to be helpful.
That's not helpful for running empire.
No. Hell no. So, they had to go and invade and get that poppy production. Now it's at record years. Bumper crops. Never been higher.
Year after year.
And not only that, but, you know, one of the amazing factoids of the financial crisis of 2008 was that at the nadir of the crisis, when banks had screwed themselves so badly and they couldn't even borrow enough to get themselves a ham sandwich, the only group in the world that could fork over a quick few billion were the drug cartels with the cash. I mean, that's a documented fact that the banks at the height of the crisis ended up going to the global drug cartel for cash to finance their short-term loans.
Well, according to the UN, that was the only money going into the banking system. Because remember, a lot of people, there was a run on the bank here in the UK with Northern Rock. Mm. People were taking cash out.
Yeah.
Where it was the only liquidity in the banking system was the tens of billions of drug money that
right.
is laundered every day.
They took that money out, they bought drugs, and then the drug cartel had to give it to the banks right away.
That's right.
That's the ecology of drug addiction and cash addiction and neoliberalism and neo-Milton Friedmanism and the Washington Consensus, as some call it.
So are you saying, though, Max,
yeah.
that drug money should have AAA rating? Because it's tier one capital, isn't it?
It is tier one capital. It should be rated AAA. That's real money. That's genuine, real tier one capital rated money right there. I mean... You can take a tier one capital AAA rated drug dollar and you can use it to collateralize $1 billion in collateralized debt obligations from Goldman Sachs.
Well, I think that we should go to Italy and propose this down in Calabria or Naples somewhere. Let's go to Naples.
Right. They should classify their drug money as tier one capital and the bank system would immediately be solvent. Because their debt-to-equity ratio would improve by a substantial amount. Let's go to the Bank of International Settlements and make the case and say, look, you all are downgrading the UK, and your Moody's and Fitch and S&P are downgraded the UK debt. They've downgraded the UK economy. Why? Because they have failed to consider the tier one capital possibilities of the drug cash.
That's right. See, we always come up with ideas right here on resonance.
People say we don't have solutions.
0.4. Oh, we do have solutions.
See, there's a solution.
Well, they think it's a joke. And then until it comes true.
Right. It's always funny at first, and then it comes true. Like my Farmville comments on the Russia Today show. All the techno dweebs are like, what is this? This is not right, because they're not used to the Max Kaiser effect. I'm always 6 months to 12 months behind reality, and just like a tickle, where at first you feel it on your toe, and you're thinking, wow, that almost feels like a tickle. I almost want... You see? It comes on you. It comes at you. It comes to you. It's a tickle. This is what information does when it approaches the left side of your brain through the cerebral cortex that is all wound up on the convolutions of your gray matter that are dedicated to appreciating what you might see in the future. It's anticipatory. It's a forecast. It's a prediction, because I'm the oracle. I had a show on BBC called The Oracle.
I had a show once.
On the BBC. The BBC World News.
Oh, boy, did they get some complaints from old British people. Yeah. Look at those Americans. We got rid of that colony.
All these blue-haired old retirees were like, what the heck is this guy? The Oracle. They choked on their Marmite. Like, honey, there's an American on our BBC World News. Quick, send them an email. You know, we should release the emails. They got literally more than 200 emails from old British retirees complaining about having an American on BBC World News.
The American accents. We don't want to hear American accents on British television.
You turn on American
television, of course, and every other actor is a Brit.
Oh, speaking of British accents, here's a prediction. I predict that Piers Morgan, who's taking over for Larry King, on CNN's primary talk show, because he is British in a time when British Petroleum has really destroyed the brand Britain, I think this could be trouble, because who wants to turn on the TV down, especially in the southern part of the United States, having experienced an ecological holocaust on the scale of the holocaust from the previous century, and see some Brit whinging on about this and that? It's going to be abhorrent. The ratings are going to be dead on arrival, stillborn, nothing.
No, but on the one hand, he does have that doughy-faced thing that Tony Hayward does. But, you know, Brits do, you know, because they're on the opiates, they do that self-deprecation thing very well. Unlike Americans, we don't do that.
Yeah, Hugh Grant. But he's no Hugh Grant, Piers Morgan.
Yeah, he could play it. He could pretend to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Terribly, terribly sorry.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
I'm such a klutz.
Destroyed your entire economy. But coming up next, Angelina Jolie will be fluffing the news. No, I don't know. I think there could be a problem there. Obviously, the deal was cut before the disaster. And I think the people over there are thinking they got a catastrophe on their hands. That's quite possible. I mean, Britain, already people see Britain as some exotic foreign location in America. It seems like, you know, it could be Chinese, it could be French, British. There's no sense of geography at all in that country. They get away with it sometimes if it's cute, like a Hugh Grant, who comes in stumbling and bumbling like a British Jerry Lewis. And people appreciate this as being humorous. Like, oh, look at that foolish British person. But, you know, in this period, when Britain is now the equivalent of the Taliban, and they actually do deals with the Taliban and the Libyans and the Lockerbie Scotland, and there's one big unholy mess. So now you got this Piers Morgan who's going to be on CNN doing light chit-chat? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we'll see. But he's on that pop idol thing, whatever. You know, one of those American opiate for the masses thing. Mm, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually a British import.
That's right. Well, I'll, this could be one of those tickle factors where, you know, it's on, you feel it, and then a second later you feel the tickle. So I think my call on the Piers Morgan thing will be that you will see a story in some British newspaper, possibly as early as this weekend, saying something like, what bad timing, Piers Morgan joined CNN during the BP catastrophe.
We have to call up Eric Pickles and see what his opinion is on the tickle factor.
Yeah, also, I think you should change his name from Eric Pickles to Freddy Pickles.
Freddy Pickles?
Yeah, Freddy Pickles.
Why?
Because Freddy Pickles is even more dignified even than Eric Pickles. And you haven't had a good Freddy in the UK since Freddy Laker, who's, of course, Australian. But he was talking, I believe, in the UK about the Laker transatlantic cheapo flights. You know, he invented the idea of the cheapo flight, but it was a little bit too early, by a decade or so, and the Freddy Laker went down in ignominy. But he did invent the whole idea of the cheap flight as we now understand it from EasyJet and the others, and from Ryanair and these folks who copied the Freddy Laker model. And Freddy is just a great name, and we haven't had a Freddy in the news in a while.
Queen. Freddie Mercury.
Hello? Queen Freddie Mercury, yes. He's dead. So what I suggest is you bring a nice Freddie back into the mix. So Eric Pickles changes his name to Freddie Pickles. Maybe his middle name is Fred, and then we can just say Freddie Pickles because that's his name. I don't know. Maybe his first name is Fred, and his middle name is Eric. What's his full name? Is it Eric Freddie Pickles?
Who knows? We could maybe submit a YouTube to, you know, Nick Clegg was asking for people to send the YouTubes in about what they want changed.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we send in a request from Truth About Markets, Resonance 104.4 FM in London. We might be American, but we want Freddie Pickles.
Yeah, we want Eric Pickles to change his name to Freddie. That's clear. That's a non-starter. That's a non-negotiating point. We're not giving up on this. We don't care what country you invade. We don't care how badly you destroy the environment. We don't care about all the junk and chemicals and carcinogens you sell down there in Tesco. We want Eric Pickles to sell the chain to Freddie Pickles.
And we'll help you with your PR problem in America.
And we'll help you sell Piers Morgan to the American people. We'll brand him. We'll spin him. We'll say, Piers.
We'll brand him.
Watch Piers and break out in hives. See, that'll get people's attention. Break out in hives. Watch Piers. I think that's a good slogan. You got an outrush of skin lesions? Watch Piers Morgan. You'll feel much better about your skin lesions.
Well, I just don't think he'll do as well as Larry King, because Larry King, you know, had a lot of, you know, physical defects and funny voice and stuff.
I know what it is. I'll tell you, this is an opportunity. You saw this with who are those maniacs?
We're gonna have to go. We can't hold on one second.
We have to go and pause.
I'm gonna leave you talking.
Okay, I'm gonna keep talking. You talk to this woman. This is our housekeeper. We knew this was gonna happen. You know, the friend, who was that radio talk show host that's been on the BBC for like 20 or 30 years? What was his name? The Pogs? The people of the Cogs?
Who?
And then the guy with the glasses took over, the big glasses.
On television here?
No, radio in the UK. He was on, and then
Chris Evans
he
took
over. Over from who was it?
Why am I blanking?
They call him the Cogs. Old Codgers. Codgers.
Chris Evans. Let's look it up.
The Thrones of the Codgers. Somebody's old Codgers. Cogs. Pogs. Cogs. Well, they call them the old takes over from, what was this guy's name? Terry Wogan.
Terry Wogan, yeah.
So, what's his name there? The man with the suspenders. On CNN, what's his name? I forget.
Larry King?
Larry King.
Oh.
He's like Terry Wogan.
Yeah.
And, see, Chris Evans took over and was, at first, the old codgers were like, who is this guy? And now he's a success at it.
Yeah, but that's radio. This is visual. You know, Larry King had all of those, like, suspenders. He had that famous hunch over. He had no neck. He had that voice, and you know, he was really old forever. He's been old forever.
Yeah, but now, instead of it like being Chris Evans and Terry Wogan, it's really going to be it's going to be more like Conan O'Brien and Jay Leno or something like that. He's going to be out of there quick, just like Conan O'Brien was done. And they're going to bring back Larry King after this guy, Piers Morgan, botches it up.
He'll botch it up because you know what will happen is that people will tune in and they'll think it's the BBC. And the BBC is always like, you know, in America, the mind of the crystal meth addict will think it's like Masterpiece Theater and they'll quickly change the channel.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, there's just so many problems. It's incredible. All right. So we got about 3 minutes left on this show. So going forward, Stacey, in the next coming weeks, what do we have to look forward to on the Resonance 104.4 here in London and our next round of shows?
Well, first I have to say, because we interviewed him several times for the Truth About Markets, Resonance 104.4 FM London, was Zapata George.
Yeah.
He passed away 4th of July weekend.
Oh, wow.
But we did interview him several times for this show right here.
Yep.
That's
sad.
That was sad news.
Zapata George is gone.
He was always fun. Fun to talk to.
Yeah. He was a very knowledgeable guy. And now he's gone. And I liked him a lot. I'm so sad, really. Sad.
Oh, honey, I didn't mean to end on that sad note. But then, we have a lot more chaos coming for this summer. It's been very hot.
Yeah.
We're going to be, we're actually away this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to take a couple of days off. So we recorded this show, actually, in 2007. That was kind of interesting.
See, that's how good you are at predicting the future.
Yeah, you know, I was able to actually pull a show out from 2007 and play it, and everything I said here I had predicted back then.
Yeah, you knew about Cameron Pickles.
Yeah, I knew it all back then. It doesn't make any difference. I can go backwards and forward through time through my own personal wormhole. I've got an own personal wormhole right there in my mind. I can go backwards and forward through time without any problem. I can see everything. I know everything. It doesn't make any difference. I'm still stuck in this universe. You know, I can't migrate over to the multiverse. I'm stuck like everybody else. Doesn't matter if you have perfect clairvoyance, 100% psychic ability. Doesn't matter. You're still stuck.
Okay, and you know what else we're doing this summer is that we're going to go on a tour of the quarries, the catacombs under Paris, and we won this on Resonance 104.4 FM fundraiser, and yeah, we got an email saying, oh, yes, congratulations, you won this tour of the quarries. Just so you know, it's illegal, so if we do run into any policemen, just run. The worst that will happen is they catch us and they give us a 25 euro fine.
That's right. That's right. That could be interesting though, down there in the catacombs and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, we have to just put on some sneakers and some socks and a baseball cap and just pretend we're American tourists that got lost.
Yeah, and I'll put a big strap-on pillow, like a. I need to add 80 pounds.
I thought you were saying you're gonna put a strap on.
I'm gonna put a strap on. Just say I'm a Tory. I'm here on break from official business. Here's my strap on.
Okay, that's
gonna do it. Till now, see you next time. Bye, y'all.